there. Welcome back to the Etsy Seller Podcast. I'm your host, Cody McGuffey, and today we have a very awesome and inspiring episode where we're joined by Bridget, who shares her story about starting her Etsy shop in a very short period of time ago, has over 9,000 sales, over $300,000 in revenue, all from Etsy, all from print on demand. She is an Everbee customer. She talks about how she uses Everbee in order to do this product research, find winning products, optimize the listings. Very fun, very inspiring. I think that you're going to get a lot of value out of this one. Here's a clip from today's show.
For the people that are new, this is very slow. Don't get discouraged. Like, I know it is. I had a really slow journey. I mean, like I say, it took me 3 months to get one sale, another 2 months to get two sales. If I would have just given up, I wouldn't be where I am now.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by Everbee, and we believe that everyone deserves the opportunity to pursue their passions and live life on their own terms. We believe in making e-commerce accessible to everyone in the world, no matter where you are, what situation you're in, and using it to make a positive impact on our families and in our communities. Everbee is the e-commerce business platform that helps e-commerce sellers find winning products, optimize their listings, grow their business. So if you're an Etsy seller, if you sell on Shopify, you sell on other platforms, you need to be using Everbee. Sign up for free, everbee.io. Let's jump in to today's show. Bridget, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
Super excited to have you on because literally you are a person, a couple of reasons. You're the person I want to talk to personally, but also like, I think you're literally the person that our users and listeners like want to hear from. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
You are a seller yourself. And I will say a successful seller. And congratulations on that. Tell everybody who you are. Just anything you want to share.
Yeah. So Bridget again. So a little bit of my background. I'm a nurse. Well, I still have my license, but I don't really practice anymore. So I was like a PRN nurse for a while. And then my husband is actually the one that's been like an entrepreneur. Like he's been an entrepreneur. Like we have been married for like 11 years and the whole time. And he was always pushing me, but I was kind of like, no, I'd rather just, you know, work my job and be a nurse forever and retire doing that. And he was kind of pushing it. And then I was 2021 came, you know, COVID, the pandemic just kind of switched everything. We have three kids. We have like an almost 8-year-old, and then we have twins that are almost 5. So wow. I was home. Yeah. So I was home with all of them and everything just kind of changed because of that. So then 2021 came and, you know, after all this entrepreneur and everybody's talking about, you know, selling online, doing this and doing that, I was like, you know what, let me just kind of check it out, do it. So I actually started with a blog. I had a blog where I talk about, you know, being a twin mom and all of that, but writing wasn't really my thing. So then I pivot. Then I did KDP for a little bit and that wasn't it either. And then I opened a digital shop on Etsy. It was like a printable, like I said, like budget printables, like for people that were trying to get out of debt or like budget, that sort of stuff. So I was on YouTube doing actual research for that shop that I started. And then I came across print on demand, which is where I currently do now. For the people that don't know what print on demand is, it's pretty much like you design everything and you have like a print provider that just kind of helps you fulfill all the orders. They send it to the customers. You just have to deal with like the customer service on Etsy and you create all the designs. So after doing what was supposed to be doing research for the digital shop, came across print on demand, went through all these rabbit holes. At first I was kind of skeptical. I'm like, well, I don't have to touch the product. I don't have to do anything.
Crazy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And then just kind of fell in love with it. And then like the end of 2021 is when I actually opened like my print on demand shop. So it was like, okay. Yeah, but then 2022 came and my husband and my sister-in-law, like both do like HR, like they do recruiting, wellness, retreats and all that sort of stuff. So my sister-in-law wanted to have a retreat in Barbados that 2022 March. So we decided to just sell everything. Why not? Let's just move the whole family to Barbados. So we moved there, kind of started the shop, but I wasn't really doing much. I wasn't really being consistent. Of course, now I'm homeschooling my kids. So it was a lot of that going on. And I was like doing listings here and there, but not really doing much with the shop into like, I would say summer, fall 2022 is when I was like, you know what? I got to take this seriously and I really want to do it. And that's kind of when I just say that again.
Not that long ago, right? Summer of 2022. That's like less than 2 years ago.
Yeah. So like in between that, I got my first sale in April. Like it took me 3 months to get my first sale, but I also wasn't really doing much. And then the second sale, I got it like 2 months later. And then like fall of 2022, when I was like, you know what, I'm really going doing this serious. And when I really started to like, you know, be consistent and put in the time and the effort, that's when it kind of started to like trickle and start going. And then, you know, heading towards Q4, I had some little momentum there. And yeah, so that's kind of like my beginning.
That's amazing. And where are you at in the world now for everybody to hear that?
So now I'm in Houston, Texas. So this is kind of home. So we're back from traveling.
Amazing. And yeah, I'm in Austin, Texas. And we talked about that before, but yeah, it's a cool spot. And you said you have three kids, you said. Two twins and then uh-huh. 8-year-old, you said. So you're busy. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, this is like a full-time.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nurse, and a homeschool. Mom, and you're homeschooling.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So how many hours right now do you work in your business? I'm just curious.
So, I mean, honestly, I don't have to work as many hours as like the beginning, but I'm like so obsessed with it that like I do a lot of hours, like as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So I would say like, I mean, at a minimum, like 4 or 5 hours I'm doing in a day, but that's just because, you know, I love it so much. I love what I do. And that's why.
What are those hours typically filled with?
So most of it is research. I honestly feel that that's where the money is. Like the more you are researching, the more you, and when I mean research, like, it's just kind of like either whether you're looking at niches or just like if you're brand new and you're figuring out like what people like, just like training your, because this is a skill. It takes time to develop, to become a designer. I mean, we all go to school or have a job. It took time to develop that skill. So the more you train kind of your eyes and your brain to figure out what customers are looking for on Etsy, the better you will be. So I spend a lot of time on like Etsy, even Pinterest, I go and like research, or like Instagram. I follow a lot of online retailers. Like, I know this is kind of like, what if you sell on Etsy? Why are you outside of Etsy? Because I feel like if things are selling in other places, they're just going to do well. And the more you do this, the more you start picking up on patterns like, oh, wait, I saw the floral design on Pinterest. And then yep. I also saw it here. And then you start seeing like, oh, okay. So you start picking up on all these things. And then when it comes to designing, it's so much faster. Like, you're not just staring at a blank canvas. And then you end up creating really unique designs because you have gathered inspiration from like everywhere.
You become the best in your field at what you do when you're super focused yes. on it. Yeah. Okay. 2022, you got mm-hmm. serious now, or I'm sorry, okay. you got your first sale in 2022.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where are you at now?
So like sales,
yes, please.
I would say over like sales wise, I'd say over like 9,000 sales, but like amazing. Revenue is like, I think the last time I checked, it was like, I was almost at 300,000. Like it was 299, like probably yeah. like 2 days ago.
Wow. Congratulations. How are you feeling about that?
Thank you.
How does it feel?
Pretty good. I mean, it's almost like, sometimes it's like, I can't believe it because it's like, when I started this, it wasn't so much about like the money. It's just, I just enjoyed it and I wanted to do it. And I was so much more focused on like that. So now that I'm like, you know, I guess I'm here, it's like, it's still kind of like surreal in a way.
I bet. Yeah. Yeah. And I was looking at your stats and stuff because that's obviously yeah. how we met, or that's how we even connected, was because you're an Everbee customer user.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was looking at like, I nerd out over this stuff, like see trends and how shops do over time. And you had it was a solid year. Every month was really consistent last year. Very mm-hmm. consistent, I would say. And then Q4, of course, as it should be, it like 5X for you, didn't it?
It was insane. Yes. It was like, and it was like, I wasn't even expecting it, but it was like insanity. I mean, in a good way.
Oh yeah. I know. Yeah. Trust me. I know. When I was looking at your chart and looking at your data, I was like, I bet you she was like over the moon all year, really, because it was very solid. I love seeing PRD businesses like this. Mm-hmm. But like I know that feeling because I've been there like many times, and like every single time it is amazing. You're just like, whoa, look at today, another record. Look at today, another record. Last year you finished up at how much revenue did you guys do last year? Do you remember? 2023.
It was probably like 250 maybe. And a big chunk of it was, I mean, Q4 literally was, which I mean, as we all know, Q4 is pretty big. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I will say that. Yes, of course, that's true. Mm-hmm. But for anybody listening to this, share what you do like monthly on average.
Okay. So revenue. Yeah, I can do. So like, for example, was it January? Yeah, I did. It dropped to like 20, but like, it's just, it depends. So I can do like right now I'm already like a 15 for this month. So yeah, it kind of, and I know it kind of comes, you know, of course, this business is like comes in waves, but I can easily do like 15, 20 in a month. And I know now I'm gearing up for Mother's Day because I know Mother's Day, Father's Day is going to be a really big wave for me too.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what? That's golden, by the way. I love sharing this. I love that you're sharing this. Thank you for that. Because so many people are like, they have this milestone of like $10,000 mm-hmm. in a month of revenue.
Right.
It's like the first big one. Right. And it's the hardest to get to. Mm-hmm. Gosh, but like, it doesn't have to stop there. That's not the end goal.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like a lot of people just be like, I just want to make it. And I mean, for me, even when I made 10,000, which it was like last year, I remember what month, maybe like March or April. And it was like, I got there, but I was just kind of like, okay. Like it wasn't like, oh, okay. Now I just get through, like, even where I am now, like people would think, like people have asked me like, oh wait, now you just get to coast. And I'm like, no, my best, I feel like I'm just like at the, like at the starting of it. Like, and it's not even so much like, oh, is the money. It's just that I just love what I do. There's so much data that I got from like my customers based on what they bought on Q4 that I'm like, no, I gotta use that to like give them more of that. So that's kind of where for me is coming more. Like I always tell people, the more you get obsessed with this, like I'm telling you, you will find success. Like you will find success.
I could not agree with you more, Bridget. Like seriously, I think that's the biggest thing is I sense this from you. We've only known each other for 15 minutes.
Right.
But you have this like unique ability to focus and like really get, you said the word obsessed multiple times. I use that word a lot too. It's a very positive term in my family, in our world. It's a very positive term. I know that's exactly how you mean it. It means that you're hyper focused on like a thing or a customer base. You mentioned your customers multiple times now. Mm-hmm. How has that served you with your current business? Like how is that separating you from everybody else?
I feel like that's just what has made my business, because I made it. I think at the beginning, obviously you start this and it's very slow. I mean, like for the people that are new, this is very slow. Don't get discouraged. Like I know it is. I had a really slow journey. I mean, like I say, it took me 3 months to get one sale, like 2 months to get two sales. If I would have just given up, I wouldn't be where I am now. So I think you just have to really dig deep and figure out why you're doing this. And it can't just be about the money. And you have to switch this whole mentality of like feeding, I guess, your ego, because of course we don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing, you know? And at the end of the day, this is a business that is about a customer. Like none of the things that I have listed, I will ever like buy for myself. So it's kind of like, you have to focus on serving other people. You have to become obsessed with your customers. Like it can't be, oh, well, I need to make money and I want this, me. The more you do that. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I'm in so many Facebook groups. I see it. I mean, I even started like a channel because I wanted to talk about this so much that this is where it starts. Yep. Because the more you let go of like focusing on like what you're getting out of it and, oh, I've done this and I make no sales. I've been doing this for this many months. I have this many listings, because I mean, I'm sure you see this every day. And I don't have any sales and I'm not making any sales. I mean, if you were doing, I mean, I know this might stink, but if you're doing everything right, you will have sales. But again, the focus is wrong. Like we're so focused on, you know, you making money, rather than like, how can I become better at researching? How can I become better and like, you know, learning how to design SEO, like finding good mockups, like, how do you become better at serving the customer? And customers will tell you things. I mean, when you see what people are favoring, when people are messaging you and asking you like, oh, do you also sell this in this color? Can you do this? Can you do that? Those are all clues of what people want. And when you ignore that, I mean, you're leaving like money on the table. And then you're wondering why you're not making any sales.
That's it. Because people forget. And it's not that it's a bad thing to focus on yourself. And
right.
And I know you're not saying that. I'm just going to share it out loud. Yeah. Like, it's a good thing. However, it should be 20% of the formula, not 80%. 80% should be focused on your customer. 20% should be focused on like, hey, how do I like, I want to like do this for my family or for myself and like make this much money. Cool. But that's a byproduct. Money is a byproduct of serving a problem really, really well. And when you become so obsessed with an audience, it becomes so easy.
Yes.
Successful. And when I say easy, meaning it's so simple. Just serve them so well. Think about them all day. Figure out creative ways to like make their life better, make it easier, give them a delightful experience when they purchase your product, whatever it is. Money will come. I believe this.
Wholehearted. That's what I believe. I will preach that forever about this business or any, pretty much.
Every business. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You mentioned your husband's an entrepreneur. You kind of mentioned, I'm curious, like I always love hearing like families and stuff. What does he do?
Yeah. So he does HR. Like they do, him and my sister-in-law do like HR. So it's like recruiting, wellness. But like, I mean, he's done so many things in the past. Like we own like a hospice before. So we've been in healthcare, real estate. We own like fourplexes, and it's always been more he's the lead. And I was just kind of like, yeah, sure, honey. That sounds like a good idea. And so obviously, you know, 2020 COVID, it kind of just shift my whole perspective of how I see life and how I want to live life and how I want to do it for my family. And that's kind of when I jumped the gun into like now being an entrepreneur. But he's pretty much has been, he never pushed me to be one. He was just kind of showing me, you know, what he did. And, you know, it kind of intrigued me. And I mean, it took like, I don't know, what, 10 years to get here, but it was at the perfect time for me.
How do you feel? And I love this because our family is very similar, right? My wife and I have been entrepreneurial pretty much all of our marriage.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
We had corporate jobs as well, though. Like we were trying to get out. We did our whole process. But we talk about how it's tricky for a marriage and for a family to be, have entrepreneurs in the family. It's not like this easy road that's like cookie cutter. Like you clock in, clock out, like you're home at the same time. It's, there's challenges with it from your perspective, being a mother and a wife. How's that been for you?
So I think because he was already one and it has its challenges. I mean, for sure, because it's kind of like we work together because he also, I mean, he stepped in and helped me a lot, especially during Q4 and all that. So, and then we also have kids that we're homeschooling. But I think for us, it's just, I don't know, it's like a way of living. So I think because now I understand, I feel like it's brought us closer because I understand, you know, his thinking. Like now we're kind of more on that same page of how we see the world and how we think about life. Before I was more like the supporter and I was just like, oh, why does he just want to be here all day and never wants to go get a job? Like who does that? Like, why would you want to work for yourself when you can just go and work for somebody and make money? So now it's like, oh no, I will do anything before I gotta go back and work for somebody. So it's like, I think it's like, because now we're on the kind of like in sync, you know, it has actually helped our relationship. And I think we have more things in common to talk about. I don't know. It's just, I think it's made it better. And I think also because now our kids are part of it, then now we're also raising them to see, you know, a different way of doing things, right? Like that you don't have to like, you know, necessarily like go and work for somebody to do like, you know, your own thing. Like we already are almost 8-year-old. We already kind of like teaching him like, you know, other things that you can do than just like, you know, go work for somebody else. So I think I love it and it's been great for our family. But I mean, it can have challenges. I feel like for us, it actually has brought us closer just because now we're both kind of on the same page more so than before.
Interesting. What do you guys think has been your biggest reason why you've able to make it work? I think like as a marriage, as a family, and we don't talk about a lot of marriage in this show,
right?
But it's like, it's life, right? Like this is what it is, like an entrepreneurial life. Mm-hmm. Like you typically have a family, you want a family.
Right.
And it's not always perfectly clean all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, Everbee, also my other past businesses, like very much my wife and I, Christina and I were like in the trenches trying to figure out how to scrap and scratch and claw to get one sale.
Right.
And I remember being like, I guess getting feedback from family or people around me, like, why would you want to do that? Like $20 you're going to make in revenue. What's that profit? Oh, it's going to be like, you didn't make any money in profit. Oh, you lost money in that sale. Like, what the hell are you doing here? Why are you focusing on this? Why do you guys do it, you think?
I think like for us, it's crazy because I think because he's been in it a lot longer than I have. And it's great. My husband is a very, I always look at him and be like, why are you this? He's the person that he's always be like, he doesn't, not in a bad way, but he's never like care about what other people think. Like he lives his life, his true self. And that's honestly what attracted me to him and why I love him so much, because I'm like, you know, I was always more of like, you know, people pleaser or like what people are going to think and that. So I think being with him helped with that. And also like our family, like our immediate family, like my mom and my stepdad also have a business, like they do consulting. So I think because our immediate family also is like, you know, kind of entrepreneurs, we haven't had a lot of my, you know, and then he works with my sister-in-law. So it's kind of like that has helped that we're in a, I guess maybe a bubble of people that are like entrepreneurs type of thing, that we haven't had as much of like that Brazilian from like everyday people that don't understand. And I do have like really good friends that are not entrepreneurs, but like that they understand, like they, you know, they might not be able to relate, but they don't sit here and tell me like, why are you doing this? Why are you not doing this instead? So I think it's also helped like the people that we have been surrounded. We have been really blessed that it has been, you know, people that actually that we can rely on that can help us and help us grow versus like, you know, people that truly don't understand.
Sure.
And I think that's what's made the difference for us. And I know, and I know not a lot of people have that, but I think we have been blessed with that.
That's why the podcast exists, right? It's exactly right. Like, is to kind of give somebody a circle that they can like tap into and like be surrounded by other entrepreneurs, even if it's virtually, right? It's so important.
For sure.
What would you say to somebody that maybe they don't have that circle? Entrepreneurs, what would you advise them to do? Assuming that they're feeling like they're listening to this right now and they're like, I want to be that. I want to do what Bridget's done. I want to have a family like that one day. Or how would they do it?
I would say if you don't have people around you, then you're going to have to, I mean, it's going to be tricky, but you're going to have to find a way virtual. I mean, we live in a online world where you can get access to so many things. So I would just start finding people online that you find interesting. Depending, I mean, if you're trying to do print on demand, just go on YouTube and search, you know, other people that are teaching about this, or even follow. I follow a lot of business people too, because at the end of the day, people look at it and be like, oh, well, you're selling on Etsy. But I'm like, but it's a business. And, you know, if you really want to nurture your brain, like you have to follow people that are aligned with what you're trying to do. So whatever it's that you're trying to better yourself with, go out there and you can literally search on YouTube and find people and go listen to the podcast. When you're on your way to work, put it on the, you know, listen to the podcast. That's how I would do it. They even have, you can even do meetups. Like you can get on meetup and actually meet people that align more, you know, with what the life that you're trying to live. But I will say you have to start with at least going out there and finding it. It's not just going to happen. You have to put yourself out there.
I think what you're saying is you need to completely change your environment, whether it's your virtual environment or your mental consumption of what you're doing. And I agree with you completely. I know that something that I did when I kind of started realizing I wanted to be this entrepreneur is years ago. And I remember being like, I looked at my Instagram at the time and I looked at all the stuff I was following. And I'm like, I went on a cleanse. I'm like, I'm not following anything that's not related to who I want to be in the future. So like unfollow everything. Like, I mean, so extreme pruning. some people would say it's too extreme. To me, I'm just like, I don't know. I just know that like this is the right direction. We got to go. How do you feel about that? Like,
I agree. I mean, I think I honestly feel like to be an entrepreneur and like because I like to study like people that also become successful, like, you know, in my industry, just in general. And like, you have to become somebody else. Like, you cannot be the same person you were and expect to like, you know, reach what you're trying to reach. Like, you have to. It's crazy how a lot of people think that like, oh, the mindset and it does not take my, like, it's a big part of it. Like, and you have to change that. Until you change your environment, how you think, who you, all those things, nothing is going to change. So you have to become a whole other person. And that means, yeah, if you have to stop talking to friends that are not helping you, then you got to move on and find some other friends or get online. You know, you have to stop getting on Instagram or block all these people. Like, you have to. That's just what it takes. I mean, you, me, all of us that are here didn't become the people that we are becoming. Just we sit there on, you know, Instagram and keep following the same people that are adding nothing to our lives. Yeah. And then the other thing is stop listening to people that are not doing better than like that you are. Like, pretty much if they are not where you want to be, I will not take their advice. Like, that's just, and that's a big thing that my husband passed on to me and that I'm trying to help other people to see, because they don't get it. They're not going to get it. And that's fine. But you need to go and like find people that are where you want to be.
You know, Bridget, that's like so golden. It is probably the simplest thing that's overlooked repeatedly, repeatedly over time through so many entrepreneurs that I talk to. It's not just even, it's not even just entrepreneurship either. Here's how deep it is, right? It's like, sometimes people are like, we listen to some, I see it on Instagram or Reel or something like that, and some guy's talking about marriage advice and how he's like, this, you know, you should do this, whatever you get. Okay, cool. And then I look at, like, I know this guy who this guy is, and I'm like, he's been divorced 3 times.
I know. Yep. You know?
And I'm like, this guy's giving marriage advice.
Yep.
And he's got, he's literally not where I want to be. Like, I should not be even, it's so immediately, I personally have the muscle because I've exercised that muscle of like, oh yeah, I shut those people out. But unfortunately, people that are happily married or maybe like in their marriage, maybe struggling in their marriage, they listen to this advice from a guy that's not been there and done that successfully. So like, you should not listen to that. And it's the same thing for business. So extreme.
For sure.
But so necessary.
Oh yeah. It's true. It is so true. I mean, I couldn't agree. I mean, that's kind of how I see this. Because even when I was starting with this journey, all the people that I was following were people that were like ahead of me, like Cassie and you know, people that were like, oh man, if they can do it, I can do it. But I wasn't just, you know, sitting here listening to somebody that's just randomly done nothing or like, yeah. And that's, this is not just even, this is like you say, like in marriage, any area of your life, fitness, relationships, anything that you're trying to accomplish or be better at, you gotta follow people that, yeah, I will not be sitting here listening to somebody that's giving you marriage advice that's been divorced. No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds too extreme and people will probably listen to this like, well, they still have valuable learnings. True. I'm not saying that. It's more just like, it's the principle, right? It's
exactly.
I'm not gonna learn how to lose weight from somebody that's not like not in good shape. Like, I'm sorry.
Right. Exactly. You, yes, you know what, for sure.
Like, you know what you're talking about probably, but I just don't. Yeah.
Yes.
This one might hurt some people.
I know.
I have a feeling. Sorry. I feel. I truly feel this.
Me too. I'm a straight shooter. So I know I'm not for everybody, but my people will get it.
Same. And I think the people listening to this can grasp this and not feel like offended by any means. Cause like there's things where sometimes I'll give advice. I catch myself too giving advice to like my nephews or something on like how to get a six pack. And I'm like, I've never had a six pack my whole life. So why do I feel like I'm qualified to give this advice? And it is, it's fascinating. I don't know.
For sure.
Let's shift. Let's shift a little bit. Etsy.
Yeah.
Etsy.
Okay.
We could talk mindset all day.
I know, right?
you sell on Etsy. That's that sounds like that's your primary channel. Yes. I believe you sell on Shopify too, right?
So we opened a Shopify store, but of course we opened the Shopify store like last year, right before
I see.
Q4, and we just had to kind of let that. Yeah.
So obviously it goes without saying that's probably has zero sales, I imagine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What is the mindset though with that? I'm curious, like tell me why both, all that good stuff.
So honestly, now that Etsy, I mean, obviously it's not like I'm coasting, but like I don't have to do as much as, as I was doing before. I'm still doing, but because my shop is kind of like a little bit more general, like I sell in different niches and I want to target a specific niche that's done really well for me that could do really well on Shopify. So that's kind of, and my husband now he's like in the bandwidth and he wants to help. So actually that's kind of like his, he's kind of helping me with that area. And especially now we're trying to get it going, hopefully now before, like I say, Mother's Day. So we'll see. Maybe I'll, kind of tell you how that goes.
So you're gonna take your Etsy shop here, and then you have, like you sound in multiple niches, and you want to pick one of those niches and put that kind of like focus on that in Shopify store. Cool. Now, for anybody listening to this, why do you do this?
So honestly, you don't have to. I mean, you can just stay on Etsy, but I'm a big believer that at the point that I am now, I want to diversify. I want to try different things. And, I feel like the niche that I'm in would do really well in on Shopify, and that's what I want to do it. But again, you don't have to do this. I honestly don't even recommend people, like new people, if you're listening, like don't do this. You gotta really get focused and do one thing at a time. The only reason I'm jumping into this is because I can, because what I've learned on Etsy and what has worked well for me, I can take it somewhere else. But I would say just start with one thing and focus on that one thing and get really good at that one thing. And then I would say, okay, now you can like, opening to other areas.
I like that. I like the where you're at too. Like, crossing 250 last $250,000 in revenue last year. There's a lot of opportunity to grow, of course. Like we see $1 million
Yeah,
shops
for
all the
sure.
time per year on Etsy, with print on demand, with various niches. However, 250 is like a nice number where you're just like, I have a little bit of money to spend, to not say a little, but like you have some capital to deploy. You have a little bit of energy to deploy into like kind of a bigger vision, which is your brand, maybe. Now, I like that. I like the stage, the decision process, I guess, in that personally. I would recommend that to somebody. Like, as soon as you get to like a 200 grand in revenue, you can start thinking about having your own website and like building a brand that you can maybe sell one day or scale one day to with Facebook ads and like start dumping money in the traffic and really growing it. What is like the main goal for your brand? Like, what's the main goal for your brand? Like, do you have a goal in mind? Like, do you want to sell it one day? Do you just want to grow it and keep it and cash flow it?
So
Where is it?
yeah, so I don't think I want to sell it. I really do, unless like I don't know, years down the road, I decide I don't really like this, but I love doing this. I think I'm at the point that I do want to turn it more probably into a brand, especially because I, like I say, I found a really niche that's super lucrative that I could take into Shopify and just run with it. I mean, obviously I could have just opened another Etsy shop and done that, but I feel like at the point that I am, I would want to focus more on like creating more, you know what I mean? Something that has more of like me, my brand. Because at the end of the day, Etsy, I love it. It's an amazing platform. It's amazing for beginners, but people go there because they know Etsy. And I'm at the point that it's like, I want people or my customers to start to getting to know me, especially because for the niches that I am, like I do get repeat customers. Like I do get, you know what I mean? That is something that you can develop, and it's easier to do once you have like your own brand.
Totally agree with that. And I was looking at your average order value and stuff because I'm like nerding out over stuff like this. I think you're around like a $30, $35 average order value, $40, something like that, $42.
That's about
Profit
right.
mar profit margins, where are you at? Like, is it the good?
Like it just depends, like 25, 30%.
Awesome. How did you get your first 10 sales?
Ooh,
For
okay.
anybody like listening to this, and they're like, oh, I have my first sale and it came from my sister. Like, how did they
So
get the
yeah, so my first sale was actually a stranger on Etsy. The second sale, what they took, it took 3 months because I didn't know what I was doing. And the second sale too, it was 2 months later. But then once I got serious, I actually, my family bought some things for me to kind of help. And then also Facebook groups. Like I joined some Facebook groups and like the niches that I was in then. And they allow like, you know, promoting, and I also reach out to like the admin. So I got a couple of sales from there. And I would say that's kind of how I started my, you know, 10 sales. And then what started happening is I started studying what was selling. I started to become really obsessed with like, you know, data research. And then based on what was selling, those are the niches that I kind of started to go into. And I'm like, okay, let me add more.
Is that when Everbee, kind of like, is that when you joined Everbee? Like, when did you join Everbee?
Goodness, it's been, I would say probably then or maybe a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been with, you've kind of been like, you've heard about Everbee 2 years ago, I guess. Almost.
I heard. Yeah. Yeah. But I think at that point, at first I was just kind of using E-Rank.
Cool.
And it was just more for like keywords. Yeah. But then what I like about Everbee was just the fact that it's a Chrome extension and I don't have to go, you know, somewhere else. It just can do it all right there. Yep. So that's kind of how I started using it. And I just love the products, especially when you can go into a product and you can kind of like analyze it and look at the keywords and see how much, like estimate how much somebody's making. I love that. I mean, I even use that now, like on my channel to like help people see, like, this is how much you can make with even just one listing. Like you don't need a whole lot to, you know, like, so, and then, yeah, so that's kind of how it all started. And I just kind of build up with those, but the first 10 sales kind of came from like strangers, Facebook groups, family, a combination of that. And then of course, then we were heading into Q4. And the niches that I was in, they buy a lot of holiday things. So I kind of jumped on that wagon, added holiday things like Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and that helped. But what really helped was that I was preparing for Valentine's Day. So like in November, I was those same niches. I was listing Valentine's Day designs that then came January. They really helped me. So like January, I think that was like my first, like, I think it made like 6,000 revenue. That was like when I was like, okay, like we're going somewhere.
We're talking like real money. Yeah. Like this is like actual money that's meaningful, right? Rather than like a $6 sale, which is amazing. But it's like, as soon as you start to get into the thousands, you're like, oh, I can pay off, or I can pay my house payment with this, or I can do, you know, bigger things with this payment, with this amount.
Yes. So kind of, that's kind of how, and then always just trying to be ahead. That's always the game that I always tell people. You always got to be ahead of the game, whatever niches or areas that you're in, whatever is coming. I mean, you got to be, I'm a little bit crazy. So I'm always like 3 months ahead. I know you can be 2 months or 3 months, but I like to do it that way because I find it that you add those listings, you're having some favorites, add it to cart, hopefully some people will buy some reviews. And then when the masses are shopping, you've had some listings that have some traction.
Love that. I have a question, switching gears a little bit, is for the seller that wants to be in your shoes, they still have these questions. I remember as a new seller myself, bank accounts, stuff like that. Like, do you have a business bank account? Do you have your own personal checking? Like what do you do with all that?
Yeah. So, okay. So when I first started out, I started like, as you know, me, like it was personal. Like at the beginning, I wasn't, I would say probably like, maybe like towards the end of 2022. I think that's when I changed it to like a business. Again, I have a little bit of a starter because my husband is a business. Mm-hmm. So he helped, but we just do like, we did an LLC. We opened a business account, like checking, savings, credit cards. And that's kind of how I've done it now. But at the beginning, you can literally, I mean, I will not let that overwhelm me because it's going to take a little. So I always just start with personal. That's what I did. And I did it for a couple months before I even switched to the whole business. So I will not let that stop me. If that's what's stopping you, no, don't let that stop you. Just open the shop.
I agree with you. Like the same thing for us too. Like every business that we started, and I'm not giving anybody advice here. None of us are giving advice.
Right. I know. Right.
Our experience was just like, go, just go. Just stop. Like, focus on the customer, focus on getting a sale, like that stuff. Worry about that later stuff later on. Money will solve that problems. Money will solve those questions for you because you can
deploy
those things. Yeah. I like that. So now though, you know, $250,000 in sales last year, you have a business bank account.
We do.
You have an LLC.
Yes.
Sounds like. Cool. Do you have an LLC just for your e-commerce business, or is it like your overarching LLC for all of your family stuff?
It's like a, no, this is just for the e-commerce. Yeah. My other stuff is separate. Yeah. So yeah, we do.
Okay. So for anybody listening right now, LLC, you can Google this, but it's a limited liability core company.
Yeah. Yes.
For the US, it's very prevalent. Different countries, it's different terminology. There's similar vehicles though. Okay. Business bank account. Cool. Now the question that nobody talks about, and I know people ask this in their head when they get to the stage of, hey, Bridget, when did you start paying yourself though? Like, what did you get? I know the company and the business is getting this money. Like,
right.
When do you get to take a little bit from this thing? Or should you take all of it? Or should you take all of it? Because it's all yours.
Right? I know, right? Ooh, I'm probably going to have like a different opinion because I am so... I invest back into my business. So I'm probably like the worst person to be like, oh, you can pay yourself here. I mean, I have put everything back into the business type of thing. So it's really up to you how you're, you know what I mean? Like what your needs are and how you started in this. Like when I started this, obviously I wanted to change my life, my family's life, like all that. But I think I had a whole lot of pressure from like, you know, I have to make this money right here and there. So I don't prioritize that. I do pour it back into the business. So, yeah.
So you don't draw a salary essentially? You don't like pull a salary?
Yeah, not right now. I haven't, you know, because I've been pouring back into the business. I mean, I will, I mean, I can, you know what I mean? But yeah, have not yet.
Understood. Cool. I agree with that. I agree with this. The way that I've always viewed this is that you can pull all that money from the business. If it makes, you know, $100,000 in profit. Mm-hmm. Cool. You can, it's technically, you know, you can do this. But should you though, right? Like, the way that I always viewed it is I want to pay myself the least amount possible to live so I can continue to do this thing. So I don't starve or like leech from my business and like deplete it from its resources. You agree?
Yeah, of course. Totally.
A lot of times people, what they'll get themselves in trouble a little bit when they have some success is they'll pay themselves all of what they've made. And what that does as it's fine is it, but it hurts you long-term because it ends up, you have less options the next time around, you know?
Yep. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
It's a tricky thing.
It is. It's a tricky, especially once you start seeing numbers, you know, and you're like, whoa, okay, I can do, you know, it's hard not to say, oh, well, I work hard. I should be able to, you know, but I think for me, it's like, I see this differently. This is like a long game for me. So I don't see it as like a quick, like, you know, let me get this quick, you know, and do this for myself. And yeah, that will be nice and it will make me feel good, but I have bigger, you know what I mean? I want longer, long-term plans for this business.
I agree. I think it's really cool. Did you always think long-term about this business though? Or is that shift recently?
I would say the moment that I decided to go all in is when because I'm that type of person. Even like, you know, when I was in nursing school, I became a nurse. I'm the type of person that I'm like very, like, once I say I'm doing something, it's like, there's nobody stopping me. And that's about anything. So I become very just like this. So I think that, yeah, the moment that I said I was doing it, it was like, okay, no, we're doing this.
I love that. I think that served you so well. I think it served anybody that's done anything significant. When you can zoom out and think a little longer term on things, like, 5 years out, you start making really good decisions. Like, start doubling down and you stop expecting things to happen in the first month. You start to think about, it's a 5-year plan. I'm okay. Just keep going.
For sure. Yeah.
Bridget, we can talk all day on this stuff.
I know.
We should wrap it up. I like to wrap up. I've been trying to like ask this last question.
Okay.
Before we end, how yeah. would you define an entrepreneur?
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. Okay. I honestly feel that I would say it all comes down to like the level of like your mind, like how you see the world, what you think about, what you consume. You're just like a very like resilient, you're a problem solver. Like you don't let things, I mean, yeah, you can have a bad day and like things might not go exactly as you want them, but you guess what? You just have your little bad day, you get up and you do it all over again. You're just not a quitter. Like you're just like, you see things long perspective. It's not just like, oh, instant gratification, because that's a big one. You know, it's like, it's not just like, oh, I just want this now. You're looking at it. You're playing, I think it was, Brand Creators. Like I got an email. I love his YouTube.
Scott, Chris,
and he was talking about like, I've been doing this for 20 years and I love this because of the game. And that's what he said it. And I also like to watch like Alice Hermosi, and he has a podcast mm-hmm. and he calls it The Game. And that's like, I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It's like a game. Like we're all playing this game and it's not even about the money. It's just about like, how can we do this and how can we move on to the next thing? So honestly, that's how I would describe it. I heard it from the both of them and I was like, yes, that's the best way to say, describe an entrepreneur. It's like, we're all playing this game.
I love it. Do you think you have to be full-time working for yourself, sustainable, or a side hustle qualifies as being an entrepreneur?
Oh man, I don't like that word. Like I do not like the side hustle word, because for me, or at least, I don't know, for me, it just feels like it's kind of like an easy way out. Like it's like, oh, if it doesn't work out, it was just a side hustle. I'm all like either treat it as a full blown business or I don't know, a hobby, but either go all in or don't. That's kind of how I'll roll.
Yeah, that's golden. Last question for someone that's listening to this, maybe they mm-hmm. haven't signed up for Everbee for anything, maybe they never used product research. How do they, what's the first thing that they should do? Like if they're just getting started on, should they even use like product research? Like mm-hmm. what do you think they should be doing? Like what's one thing that they should be doing with Everbee?
So if you haven't get started, start now, like just open the shop. And yeah, I mean, you can start Everbee, like you can literally start, I mean, just go and sign up. There's like a free version. I mean, you can even get, if you sign up through like, you know, somebody on YouTube, you can get a code. But like, I would say immediately, because honestly, it will save you so much time. Like you can literally just go and obviously do it the manual way, go on Etsy, but it will take you hours versus just getting a Chrome extension that's like right there, built into Etsy, that will literally walk you and show you all the keywords, the products. Like, I mean, what is selling the best in a shop? Like, it's no better, like, you know, information than that, because you can literally study the best of the best with like one tool, and it will make your life so much easier. And it will just, the whole process is just easier, faster. Yeah. I mean,
you're amazing.
Just do it.
I agree. Especially if there's a free version. But yeah, anyway, last question. I promise.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Oh, okay. So I recently started a YouTube channel because I want to help more people, and it's called Stupid Easy POD, because I want to make it really simple for people so they can find me there on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Yeah. But I'm mostly doing like YouTube. Yeah.
Awesome. We will link to
your
channel. We'll link to all that stuff. If you guys are listening to this in the show notes and the YouTube description, wherever it is. Bridget, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on all your success and your family. Very excited to have you on again in the future. We need to get an update on where you're at.
I know, right? Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Awesome. Talk to you really soon.
Okay.
Okay.